This is Wealth Wake Up on KGMI with Dick Donahue.
The opinions voiced in Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through CWM, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Cetera Advisor Networks is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Guests of Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are not affiliated with Cetera Advisor Networks, CWM, LLC, or Asset Advisors, LLC.
Good Saturday morning. Dick Donahue, Camille Kopenberg with you with Wealth Wake Up Live here on KGMI. Thank you for being with us. It's a beautiful Father's Day weekend. Enjoy. Okay, market recap for the week. They were mixed as macroeconomic and geopolitical developments continue to dominate the headlines. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates and plotted a slightly more aggressive timeline for future rate hikes. In doing so, the committee noted that economic activity has been rising at a solid rate. On Thursday, the European Central Bank announced plans to end its bond buying program in December. The move signaled the beginning of the end of extraordinary monetary policies that helped revive growth and reduce unemployment in the Eurozone economy. Tuesday's Singapore summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un yielded mixed messages. Proponents highlighted the prospect of improved relations for regional security, while detractors noted a lack of specifics on denuclearization. Subsequent negotiations will reveal the lasting impact of the first-ever meeting between the two heads of state. The detente with North Korea immediately followed an acrimonious G7 summit in Canada. The meeting concluded with the U.S. refusing to sign the joint communique. Finally, on Friday, the Trump administration announced tariffs of $50 billion on Chinese industrial and information technology products. China responded with plans for reciprocal duties against U.S. farm and energy imports. The tit-for-tat dispute heightened fears of a global trade war. Well, the macroeconomic and geopolitical developments have largely overshadowed strong economic and corporate fundamentals. Small business optimism rose to its second highest level in the report's 45-year history, and retail sales surged in May on broad-based gains across restaurants, building materials, department stores, and clothing stores. On Tuesday, the U.S. District Judge ruled in favor of AT&T's acquisition of Time Warner. Not surprisingly, consumer discretionary stocks outperformed for the week. Companies such as CBS, Dish Network, Charter Communications rose on the prospect of increased merger and acquisition activity in the media industry following the judgment. Indeed, on Wednesday, Comcast announced a competitive bid for certain assets of 21st Century Fox, which agreed that last year to a transaction with Walt Disney. Energy stocks, meanwhile, underperformed as investors anticipate next week's meeting in Vienna between OPEC and non-OPEC producers, including Russia. The oil-producing nations will debate maintaining the status quo on production levels or increasing output. Rising oil prices have provided a revenue boom for state-run operators, which, while also attracting increased production from alternative sources, primarily U.S. shale. Therefore, the meeting will likely determine the near-term direction for oil prices and, by extension, for shares of energy and energy-related industrial stocks. Okay, Thursday. Thursday was a little history lesson for us. Among other things, it's Flag Day. I always remember Flag Day because it was my mother's birthday. She'd have been 98. But this goes a little different direction here. We're going to talk about the value of learning the Army's history, because Thursday marked the Army's 243rd birthday. And on this day, soldiers past and present were encouraged to pause and reflect on the years of service that the Army has given the nation. The Army takes enormous pride in its history and its heritage. The Second Continental Congress created the Army on June 14, 1775, when it authorized the formation of 10 companies of expert riflemen. These brave soldiers marched to Boston to support the local militia. The next day, George Washington received his appointment as commander-in-chief and shortly moved to take command at Boston. And there's Major General Malcolm Frost, who recently announced a renewed focus on Army history and basic training with the goal of teaching recruits what it means to be a United States soldier and to connect them with the service's heritage. So why should new soldiers understand the Army's history? After all, the average American citizen knows very little about our history. According to a CBS News poll, in 1994, only 27% of Americans knew what the term D-Day refers to. In 2014, National Assessment of Educational Progress Report revealed that only 18% of 8th graders were proficient in U.S. history. So why should the Army expect its soldiers to learn its history? What's the point of teaching soldiers about the miserable conditions on the encampment at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, or the D-Day assault on Omaha Beach, or the sacrifices of Gary Gordon and Roger Shugart in Somalia in 1993? Why not listen to those who say, live in the moment and just carry out orders? What do modern soldiers have to learn about the battles and soldiers of the past? Well, it turns out a lot. By understanding the actions of fellow soldiers and how they reacted and persevered under these most challenging circumstances, today's soldiers can be guided by their experiences. Sergeant Alvin York's single-handed attack on German machine gun nests in World War I provides a classic example of bravery in the face of danger. General Ulysses S. Grant, after having been nearly defeated on the first day of the Battle of Shiloh in the Civil War, told his subordinate William Sherman that night that they would lick him tomorrow, demonstrating great perseverance. And Shugart and Gordon repeatedly insisted on being inserted in the midst of a raging firefight in downtown Mogadishu to help a downed aircraft crew. The choice, which resulted in their deaths, provides a vivid example of how soldiers never leave fallen comrades. Lessons like these are hard to learn in peacetime, but through understanding Army history, soldiers better prepare themselves for the undergoing unforgiving crucible of combat. Throughout its 43 years of history, the Army has never failed to answer the nation's call. The Army flag has 190 campaign streamers attached to it, each attesting to tough campaigns and battles. Some struggles have ended in defeat, like the 1776 Long Island Campaign in the Revolutionary War, others success, like the 1991 liberation and defense of Kuwait. Steadfast through it all has been the determination, devotion, and the readiness of the American soldier captured by the Army's model, they will defend. So happy birthday to the Army. That would have been for Thursday, which was Flag Day. So I always kind of like to keep track of those things for some little personal reason. So that's why we talk about it. One quick one here. American retirees are being pinched despite this bull market. Roughly one in four retirees are having financial challenges, even amid the current nine-year bull market, according to a recent Gallup poll. The survey also found there's a disconnect between non-retirees and retirees in their perception of financial security. Once retired, Americans tend to feel more secure about their financial future than those who are yet to retire, according to the analysis of the poll, which found that 46% of non-retirees say they will come up short financially in retirement. This group is subject to a consistent message from financial experts that Americans are not saving enough, said the pollsters. On the other hand, 78% of retirees say that they're comfortable with the money they have. One reason retirees are positive about their finances may be that they can get by on less money than they thought, according to Gallup. Dick Donahue, Camille Copenberg with you with Wealth Wake Up Live here on KGMI. We'll be back shortly.
Get to DeWard and Bodie now for your last chance to save on barbecues, appliances, mattresses, and more during the two-day sale. Just in time for Father's Day, get Dad the gift of grilling and step up his grill game with the all-new Weber Spirit, perfect for a backyard barbecue with friends or spicing up a family dinner. Or make mouths water for something smoked on a Traeger wood pellet grill. Right now, find a $100 price drop on select Pro Series Traegers. Plus, they will assemble your grill and deliver it for free on select grill purchases. purchases. Keep your cash and pay no money down and no interest for 2 full years on select purchases today. Don't miss the last day of markdowns up to 40% off on closeout refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, and more. Plus, get incredible savings on one-only mattresses up to 50% off. Hurry! DeWarden Bodie's two-day sale ends tonight at both stores in Bellingham and in Burlington, just a half block north of Costco. Financing OAC minimum purchase necessary. See store for details on delivery. Exclusions apply.
Wow. Amazing.
Beautiful.
Love it.
What a view.
I can't believe the price.
What a location.
We hear comments like these every day at Semiahmoo Shore, Washington's brand new gated waterfront community. Phase one has sold out, and we're excited to now introduce our Sunrise homes with spectacular saltwater and mountain views. Imagine award-winning design, impeccable craftsmanship, and incomparable quality starting at $795,000. Our website is semiahmooshore.com. Or simply Google Ultimate Waterfront to discover what buyers from Seattle to Vancouver already have. There's one last opportunity to get away to the beach at a great price. World-class golfing, a marina, biking trails, and the renowned Semiahmoo Resort Hotel and Spa all within minutes and endless beaches to explore. Model homes are open daily noon to 5 p.m. Get details online at semiahmooshore.com or simply Google two words, Ultimate Waterfront. Listed and marketed by Mike Hanna, Windermere Real Estate.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI News Talk 790 or the Cascade Radio Group.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Dick Donahue with you, Camille Kulpenberg. We're Asset Advisors. We're located out on the Pacific Highway. That's out next to Wilson's Furniture. Boy, they get a lot of free advertising out of us. Wilson's Furniture out there on the Pacific Highway. Anyway, our address is 5060 Pacific Highway, Suite 101. That's Ferndale, 98248. Our phone number, 360-733-1200, 733-1200. Give us a call if you got questions. Check out our website. I think we're going to talk a little bit about the website today, aren't we, Camille?
We are.
Okay, well, you go for it and talk about it.
Well, first of all, our website is wealthwakeup.com or assetadvisorsllc.net. We've got a new monthly newsletter that just came out, and I'm going to talk about the 5 reasons you might need a corporate trustee for your estate plan. So, well, as you plan for your own and your family's financial future, you might consider the creation of a trust. And many estate plans utilize what is called a revocable living trust. During your life, you generally serve as trustee of your revocable living trust, and you can either retitle your assets in the name of the trust during your life, or you can use what's called a pour-over will to direct your personal representative or executor to transfer any individually owned assets at your passing to your trust. And after you pass, your trust becomes a separate entity that owns property managed by what's called a trustee. And that person administers the trust per your instructions for the benefit of any designated individuals or charities. So if you do decide a trust is needed, either during your lifetime or in your will, you will have to choose a trustee to administer it. And you might think, okay, your estate plan isn't complex, so a family member or friend should be able to handle your affairs after you pass. Well, unfortunately, family members may not be able to devote the necessary attention or time to handle this undertaking. Sometimes it's tough, and you're actually giving a family member responsibility, and so whether or not they want that is something else too. You can even have maybe smart friends or business associates, but they are unlikely to have the expertise required to serve as maybe a capable trustee. Mistakes made in the administration of your trust might result in maybe some extra expenses that are unnecessary, cost to you, cost to your estate, and maybe the beneficiaries who are receiving those valuable assets. So we talk about our trust representative, which we use, which is called the Carson Group Partners Private Trust. And what they do is they provide corporate trust administration solutions for individuals whose financial or family or business needs require the services of a professional fiduciary. And working under a national charter, the Carson Group Partners Private Trust actually provides trust administration in all 50 states. So kind of to get to the point here, what are the top five reasons why your estate plan might need a corporate trustee? So the first is needing the extensive investment management and trust administration experience. So our directed trust model uses the investment management and trust administrative duties, and it provides continuity of investment philosophy and selection to your beneficiaries. In other words, the investment management and the attorneys work together and it's cohesive. The second is having that knowledge of applicable state laws and procedures. So when you work under a national charter, you get trust administration services in all 50 states. So a lot of knowledge there. The third is long-term stability. So if you designate a friend or a family member, things can happen. They can move away, and certainly you can designate somebody to follow up with them. But, fall ill, they might not want to do it at all at the end of it. Maybe they want to do it now, and then they change their mind. So you have that long-term stability when you use a corporate trustee. The fourth is neutral and impartial third-party administrator. So during the term of your trustee will be called upon to make careful decisions that are in the best interest of your beneficiaries. And so you can have a corporate trustee that will make decisions objectively and in accordance with the laws of your particular state. And then the last reason you might want that is to serve as a co-trustee with an individual family member or friend. So if you do feel more comfortable about having somebody close to you involved in managing your assets, you can actually consider naming a friend or family member, and then you can have a corporate trustee as a co-trustee. And then with that approach, you'll have the perspective of somebody close to you, but also have somebody that has that professional experience. So those are five reasons to consider a corporate trustee. It's not for everyone, but we want to make it available or let people know that we do have that available if the need comes. So you can check that newsletter out. It's on the website again, wealthmakeup.com or assetadvisorsllc.net.
Yep, check it out. Okay, well, Wednesday, the Fed raised interest rates again, and all signs have pointed to the quarter of a point rate hike coming from the Fed and their open market committee, or FOMC. And that's exactly what we got after two-day meeting ended on Wednesday. The rate hike applies to the overnight federal funds rate that banks pay for borrowing to meet their reserve requirements. Remember, the Fed has a dual mandate handed down by Congress in 1977 to promote stable prices and maximum employment through monetary policy actions. In that vein, the Fed assumes that a rate hike will trigger a complex chain of reactions. These ripples will influence other short-term interest rates, exchange rates, long-term interest rates, and credit availability. The Fed's rate decisions can also affect a range of economic variables, including the employment, output, and the prices of goods and services. Maybe the rate hike will also give us an extra week of vacation. Okay, well, that's a wide array of assumptions and forecasts, and all these things considered, with a track record as dicey as the Fed's, I can't help but see it as overambitious. The Fed assumes its rate hikes extend through the curve, also called the spectrum of Treasury debt, from short-term to long-term bond prices. Put another way, the assumption is that an overnight rate hike affects all borrowing costs. But it doesn't always work out that way. In the aftermath of five of the last six rate hikes we've had since December of 2015, long-term Treasury yields actually fell in the weeks and months following the action. December of 17 was the only exception. And it's too early to say how long long-term yields will react or take to react to Wednesday's move. So let's take a look at some of the recent economic data, starting with releases that the Fed monitors closely. The past week and a half has brought a lot of good news. April's personal income was up 0.3%, which was in line with expectations. Consumer spending, on the other hand, doubled. The consensus forecast came in at 0.6%. The April personal consumption expenditure price, or PCE index, which is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, was up 0.2% month over month. The number held at both the headline level and once food and energy costs were removed. The market had expected a 0.1% on the latter reading. So year over year, core inflation is up 1.8%, in line with Wall Street's consensus view. Spending surprised to the upside, inflation tracked the market's expectations. So the good news kept coming in the May jobs report. They expected 190,000 jobs. They got 233,000. On top of that, the unemployment rate dipped unexpectedly, moving below 3.8%. More important earnings were up 0.3% on the expectation of a 0.2% rise. 1 month of data, of course, doesn't make a trend. However, consumer inflation has started to show up in core prices, with wages and spending moving higher. If you fast forward to the May's Consumer Price Index, which came out on Tuesday, core CPI, which is less food and energy, was up 0.2% for the month. And on the year, the index is up 2.2%, just above the Fed's target of 2%. So Wendy's release of the May Producer Price Index, or PPI, also came in hot. Prices were up 0.5% for the month, compared with expectations of 0.3%. Core prices were up 0.3% on an expected 0.2% increase. And then on top of Wednesday's rate increase, the Fed signaled two more hikes for later this year. The outlook came in as a bit of a surprise, although we've been kind of talking about that one for a while. But if the economy slows, the rise of the U.S. slipping into a recession would increase. I'll continue to monitor the yield curves and continue to watch what happens. But if long-term yields fall below short-term yields, our economy will likely fall into a recession. In fact, every recession since 1955 has been preceded by a negative spread between the 10-year Treasury and the one-year Treasury bill. The difference between a bond or a note and a bill is simply the time needed for maturation. A bond matures in 10 years to 30 years, a note in 2 to 10 years, and a bill is in a year or less. So the Fed have used the transitory to describe what's happening right now with the economy for the last couple years. The central bank often uses this qualifier when it talks about a lack of inflation, whatever it takes to put a positive spin on things, right? Well, if the economy weakens sooner than later, inflationary pressures will recede, wage growth will falter, and the Fed will probably won't stick to its plan to hike rates twice more this year. Dick Donahue, Camille Copenberg with you with Wealth Wake Up Live. Little news and sports, I think, coming up here. Thanks for listening.
You know texting and driving is dangerous, but it appears that drivers are not taking this seriously. Over 84% of drivers recognize the danger from cell phone distractions, but 36% admit to having read or sent a text message while driving. Northwest Propane wants you to stay safe and focused on the roads. Northwest Propane has over 70 years in the business and cares about your family. They're the number one choice for Whatcom, Skagit, Island, and Snohomish counties. Visit them online at nwpropane.net.
KGMI News Update.
KGMI News Time, 11:31, up to 71 degrees now in Bellingham, heading for a high of 78 today. A Thurston County judge has granted a temporary injunction to stop Washington wildlife managers from issuing new permits to kill black bears on private timberland using certain hunting methods. The Center for Biological Diversity sued the Department of Fish and Wildlife last month, alleging it exploits narrow exceptions to two voter-approved initiatives by allowing hunters to use bait, dogs, and body-gripping traps to kill bears on private commercial timberland. The injunction issued Friday by Superior Court Judge Carol Murphy suspends that specific program until the court can review the case. It does not affect permits already issued. A Washington man may face a life in prison after he allegedly tried to rape a disabled woman. KGMI's Lauren Murphy has the story.
62-year-old Terry Shepard is a former supervisor at a center for people with disabilities in Buckley, Washington. Shepard was accused of having sex with the 57-year-old developmentally disabled woman inside the facility. A co-worker notified officials after witnessing the incident in 2016, leading to Shepard's arrest. A jury in Pierce County Superior Court found him guilty of attempted rape and indecent liberty 30s on Wednesday. Sentencing is scheduled for July. Lauren Murphy, KGMI News.
CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula looks into a police workshop focused on helping law enforcement stop the exploitation of children.
One focus of the National Law Enforcement Training on Child Exploitation Conference is to stay up to date on the latest technology to combat the problem. Debbie Garner is with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
I've been in law enforcement for 27 years, and this is probably a group of the most dedicated law enforcement professionals that are in the business.
Garner says those who sexually exploit children are constantly coming up with new ways to attract them online and through social media. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
If you want to get outside and enjoy the sun today with some live music, the Bluegrass Music Festival is on the day from 2 till 9 at Cedro Woolley's Eagle Haven Winery. The Prozac Mountain Boys will kick off the festival in the scenic outdoor pavilion there. The entry is $15. There's also a bunch of other groups there as well, including Skagit's own Bird's View Bluegrass performing. That's from 2 to 9 the day in Cedro Woolley.
KGMI Sports.
On the diamond, Denard Spann's pinch hit double in the eighth scored two runs, leading the Seattle Mariners to a 7-6 win over the Boston Red Sox last night. Spann, hitting for Guillermo Heredia with one out, hit a liner to the right field corner after Ryan Healy walked and Ben Gamel singled to left. Rob Whalen pitched four scoreless innings of relief for Seattle. Ryan Cook at 1-0 in the year now earned the win with a scoreless eighth inning, and Edwin Diaz earned his major league leading 26th save by working the ninth. Wade LeBlanc will make his ninth start of the season today against the Red Sox as that series continues. 4 p.m. pregame, 5:15 first pitch on our sister station, AM 1170 KPUG. Ernie Yake played hometown hero last night for the Bellingham Bells with a bases-loaded single through the left side that resulted in both runs of the Bells' 2-1 win over the Portland Pickles in front of his friends and family last night. Pitcher Taylor Davis, another Washington local, was able to close the door by retiring three in a row after giving up a leadoff single. That series continues tonight as well. It's a 6:05 pregame, 6:35 first pitch on our sister station, AM 930 KBay, also 98.9 FM. On the field, Bellingham United FC is looking for their second victory of the season today, 3 p.m. at Yakima. They're 1-3-1 in this year outdoors. On the court, Natasha Howard scored a career-high 25 points, and Brianna Stewart had 23 as the Seattle Storm beat Connecticut 103-92 last night. They had 2 4-point possessions in the fourth quarter, the last for a 93-84 lead. They had only one field goal in the final 5 minutes, though, but made enough free throws to hang on for the win. Both teams honored former coach Ann Donovan with a black stripe on their jerseys. Donovan was the 56-year-old Hall of Famer who passed away Wednesday. She led the Storm to a WNBA championship in 2004, becoming the first female coach to win a title in that league. KGMI dependable forecast, sunny, 78 today. Northwest breezes cooling you off at 10 to 15. Clear and 56 overnight tonight. Pretty much the same tomorrow through Wednesday. Temperatures cooling down to highs in the upper 60s for the second half of the work week next week. It's 71 now in Bellingham. Mike Davis, KGMI News.
KGMI is your local source for instant news, sports, weather, and traffic information. And it doesn't cost you a dime. Unlike the other guys, we don't tease you with a few free articles a month on our website, then shut you out and demand that you pay a subscription fee. News and information is always free at KGMI.com. And we don't annoy you with full-page pop-up ads either. So remember, whether you're listening at AM 790 or 96.5 FM or checking out KGMI.com. KGMI is your dependable and free local news source.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Dick Donahue, Camille Kopenberg with you today here on KGMI. We are live. Just as a reminder, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we come back with all kinds of data on this week's economic news. But right now, we're sitting here live. We're going to talk a little bit about IRAs. Go for it, Camille.
Okay. A little bit about abandoned property. So did you guys know that your IRA could be escheated to the state as abandoned property? Well, not a lot of people do know that and are aware of that possibility, and more are facing it. So the legal history of what is called escheatment dates way back, and it dates back to Old English common law. So when a person's heir, or when a person died with no heirs, their property would go back to the king. The goal was to prevent property from falling into limbo and disuse. And in recent years, this treatment has changed and states have gotten a lot more aggressive. There's been an increase in state activity to make it easier to claim abandoned property as a source of revenue to plug budget gaps. So let's talk about escheatment and IRAs. Because IRAs are not like other property, it's raised a lot of issues as to how exactly they should be treated by IRA custodians. So to provide some answers and to be sure that Uncle Sam gets his share of abandoned property, the IRS has now issued some guidance. So the IRS explains how custodians, and a custodian is the person who holds the assets, should treat IRAs that are escheated to the state when it comes to reporting your withholding. The IRS guidance makes it clear that any IRA that is escheated to a state as abandoned property must be reported on what is called Form 1099-R as a taxable distribution. It also clarified that withholding rules will apply. So, when there is no withholding election made, the custodian must withhold 10% of this distribution. So, what does that mean for you and your IRA? Well, no one wants their property to be given to the state, and no one wants their IRA to be treated for a lot of reasons. So, you can add that to the list, the fact that the IRS has now made it clear that estreatment will result in a taxable distribution. You will have a tax bill, and the state will have your IRA. The only silver lining is that the states have procedures to reclaim your funds. So can you deposit those funds back into your IRA? Well, chances are if you realize that you've got some property that's been gone, that 60-day rollover deadline will probably be long past. But there is some private letter rulings that did allow a late rollover of escheated funds. So bottom line, you know, you want to be proactive, take steps to make sure your IRA is not escheated to the state. And they're going to, the rules vary from state to state, but there's some things that you can do. So first, you want to contact whoever's holding the assets on a regular basis. You want to make sure that there's some activity being done. You want to make sure that you have correct information.
The thing is making sure they have your current address so they can send you a statement.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And then, yeah, exactly. Check to see that you're getting regular statements. You can actually look up if you have any assets that are out there. I think it's unclaimedproperty.com or .net. If you type that in Google, it's the first option. And you can search by, I believe, your name and your social security number. And if you have unclaimed property, it'll let you know, and there are proper steps to get that property back. So it's not long gone, but they are making that window smaller and smaller just to make sure, you know, that money is going to the state or it'll get back to you. So
okay.
Some things
and
to
you
know.
You had an IRA question to talk about this week too, didn't you?
I do, yeah. So some Q&A here. So here's how the scenario went. This husband and wife, they had a living trust. And their attorney suggested that all those holdings to be put in the trust or make the trust the beneficiary. And what happened is that husband died several years ago, and in this year, his wife died. There are two beneficiaries. There's a brother and a sister. The brother is in New York State, and the sister lives in Toledo, Ohio. Well, what was recently paid out was a VA IRA to the trust as a beneficiary. And they tried to take to get the company to take back the check, but was told that couldn't be done. And so the question is, are there any other choices, or do they have to split the proceeds 50-50 between brother and sister and do withholding? And will the withholding show on that K-1 for each item? So this is how it goes. Unfortunately, when the IRA is paid out to the trust, it was paid out as any other beneficiary. That distribution is taxable. It can't be reversed. The payments to the trust beneficiary could have been limited to the annual minimum required distribution from the IRA, but after that full IRA balance is distributed, it's too late for that. So a trust for your information, it's a non-spouse beneficiary, and a non-spouse beneficiary cannot roll over funds distributed from an inherited IRA. So what will happen is a Form 1099-R is going to be filed by that IRA custodian. It's going to be reported as a distribution to the IRS, and income tax liability will be proportioned to the trust's beneficiaries in accordance with the amount of money they actually receive. So they got to pay taxes on it. And if the trust retains any of the income instead of distributing it, it will incur income tax liability on its own. So, moral of the story, you probably shouldn't list a trust as a beneficiary on an IRA.
Or if you do, make sure you've done it exactly right.
Yes.
Because it'll create some problems.
It creates problems.
Make sure that the beneficiaries know the trust is there in the first place. I think that may be part of it, so that they have time to react and know that they have to do something. So make sure they can have a chance to ask questions, because a lot of times they don't know what to do. It doesn't mean anything to them. They don't really understand that by those trust assets need to be distributed separately.
Right.
So
just think through it carefully. Yep. And also, if you have questions about that, let us know. We go through a lot of this all the time.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hit with a quick one here. Charitable giving is on the rise, 52.2%. For a new record of $410 billion for 2017, according to the Giving USA's annual report on philanthropy. The report found that giving was up due to a booming economy, rising stock market, and giving to hurricane and wildlife relief efforts. Mega gifts from tech billionaires added to the record high. The largest gifts in 2017 came from Bill and Melinda Gates, $4.6 billion. Mark Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan, $1.9 billion. Michael and Susan Dell, $1 billion. All of these donations went to their individual foundations. Giving by individuals rose 5.2% in 2017 to $287 billion. Giving by corporations increased by 8% to $21 billion. And while we're talking about high net worth and giving and what have you, we have another survey out there of high net worth individuals, found that generations define wealth quite differently. Among many of the 300 participants with between $1 and $20 million in assets defined wealth as peace of mind with 65%, while baby boomers, 69%, and Gen X participants, 68%, said wealth meant peace of mind. Only 53% of millennials defined it as such. Many millennials defined wealth simply as happiness. Out of those who were business owners, 29% that materials possessions are what changed their wealth priorities, a much higher percentage than other generations. Okay, Dick Donahue, Camille Copenberg with you with Wealth Wake Up Live here at KGMI. We'll be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Steve, co-host of In the Shop, Saturdays from 9 to 10 on KGMI 790. I own Panacea Automotive Repair. Did you know that the definition of Panacea is a remedy for all ills or difficulties? A cure-all? At Panacea, honesty is our priority. We won't sell you products you don't need or do repairs that aren't necessary. We understand the necessity of a good working relationship, so we take pride in giving our clients quality service. Panacea Auto Repair, service you can trust, on Britton Road behind Iron Man Movers or at PanaceaAuto.com.
Wow. Amazing.
Beautiful. Love it.
What a view.
I can't believe the price.
What a location.
We hear comments like these every day at Semiahmoo Shore, Washington's brand new gated waterfront community. Phase one has sold out, and we're excited to now introduce our Sunrise Homes with spectacular saltwater and mountain views. Imagine award-winning design, impeccable craftsmanship, and incomparable quality starting at $795,000. Our website is semiamushore.com, or simply Google Ultimate Waterfront. To discover what buyers from Seattle to Vancouver already have, there's one last opportunity to get away to the beach at a great price. World-class golfing, a marina, biking trails, and the renowned Semiamoo Resort Hotel and Spa, all within minutes, and endless beaches to explore. Model homes are open daily noon to 5 p.m. Get details online at semiamushore.com, or simply Google two words, Ultimate Waterfront. Listed and marketed by Mike Hanna, Windermere Real Estate.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Washington Army National Guard. Aired by the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Money alone is not enough. With one illness, retirees could lose their finances and their freedom. Protect your assets and preserve your quality of life with a coordinated life plan. Tune in to KGMI on Saturdays from noon to 1 for the Aging Options Radio Show. Learn how to protect your savings and avoid becoming a burden to your loved ones. Join life planning coach Rajiv Nagayach to learn how to plan a happy and successful retirement. Every Saturday at noon on KGMI News Talk 790 AM and 96.5 FM.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Let's talk about the biggest retirement mistakes. Your retirement, it's a major milestone, and sometimes it occurs earlier. Maybe you fall ill, you downsize, or you decide, hey, it's time to call it quits. But before you clock out that one last time, let's make sure we know some of the critical rules and deadlines for claiming Social Security, enrolling in Medicare, and taking distributions from retirement plans. So one of the first biggest mistakes that some people make is claiming Social Security early while you are continuing to work. So if you collect Social Security benefits before your normal retirement age of 66 or 67 and you continue to work, you could, and this is important, temporarily lose benefits. So in 2018, if you earned more than $17,040, you're going to forfeit a dollar in benefits for every $2 you earn over that limit. And that earnings cap will disappear when you do turn 66, and the benefits that you lost are actually restored, and you'll actually receive it in the form of higher monthly benefits. So that's important to know there. A lot of people are confused by that. You don't technically lose it. It's more put on hold.
Just get it later.
Yep, you get it later. But if you're
sometimes much later if you live long enough.
If you live long enough, right. So, you know, if you're taking Social Security while you're working before 66 or 67, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's not a lot of additional income usually, but we got to look at the circumstances. The second mistake made is coordinating your Social Security benefits with your spouse. So they're not two separate things. You can actually coordinate them together. So, you know, for most married couples, you want to maximize those benefits for that surviving spouse. And that can mean that the main breadwinner should maybe delay collecting Social Security retirement benefits until age 70, let them grow, and when benefits will be worth most, and then they can pass that on to the survivor. The third is, well, just leaving Social Security benefits on the table. So even if one spouse delays collecting retirement benefits until age 70, you may still be able to file for spousal benefits at age 66, but you got to be born on or before January 1st, 1954. And your spousal benefits, they're worth 50% of the other spouse's full retirement age benefit amount. Meanwhile, your retirement benefit can earn those delayed retirement credits, and those are worth 8% per year up to age 70, and you would have boosted your benefits by up to 32%. Let's switch over to planning for healthcare costs in retirement. So if you retire before you are eligible for Medicare, which is 65, finding health insurance, it's difficult and it's expensive. So what some people might do, you can extend employer coverage under COBRA for up to 18 months. You do have to pay the full premium without any help from the boss. And depending on your health, you might consider maybe if you want to take the cheaper way out, you know, finding an individual policy. You're going to have a high deductible, and then you can maybe contribute to maybe an HSA. So something to think about there. Another thing to consider is failing to sign up for Medicare Part B on time. So once you're eligible for Medicare at 65, you must enroll in what's called Medicare Part B. And that's going to cover your doctor's visits, your outpatient services. And during that seven-month period that starts, it starts 3 months before your 65th birthday, you need to get enrolled. And if you miss that initial enrollment deadline, you incur a late enrollment penalty, and it's going to permanently boost your Part B premium by 10% for every year you delay. So don't do that. The penalty is waived if you have health insurance from your employer or your spouse's employer. And once you enroll in Medicare, you can no longer contribute to an HSA. So those are a couple things to think about when you retire. If you've got questions, Social Security, Medicare, retirement, let us know. We're happy to help.
Okay, Camille, well, thank you. Well, now I'm going to throw a wet blanket all over all those good things you just talked about with Social Security planning, because I'm going to ask you a question. Is there any Social Security trust fund?
Not for me.
Yeah, you better keep working. You better have about 10 kids.
Oh, God.
The other generation that's ahead of you needs money. Anyway, I don't know if you saw the news recently, but the Social Security Administration announced earlier this month that it would have to dip into its trust fund for the first time in 36 years. Well, with the baby boomers retiring in droves, the Social Security system is now paying out more in benefits than it's taking in revenue. And if the current trend holds, the trust fund will be completely depleted by 2034. Which sounds bad, it's really bad, but it's actually worse than what you think. Social Security is dipping into a trust fund that doesn't actually exist. There is no trust fund. You remember Al Gore's lockbox back in 2000? It didn't exist. It did not exist. But no one has stolen in some Ocean's 11 caliber heist. No, I'm not a conspiracy theorist who believes it was an elaborate plot by our government to lie to us. But I'm 100% serious when I say the Social Security Trust Fund doesn't exist, nor has it ever existed, at least not in the way that you or I would understand a trust fund. So let's start with some of the basics. Now, what is the Social Security Trust Fund? Well, the Social Security Administration essentially has two accounts at the U.S. Treasury, the Old Age Survivors and Insurance Trust Fund and the Disability Insurance Trust Fund. They're both collectively called the Trust Fund. And you and I and every working American contribute to these funds through our payroll taxes, 6.2% of your paycheck, up to the first $128,400 goes to Social Security, and your employer chips in another 6.2%. So that's a total of 12.4% of your income up to $128,000. So that's a little over $14,000 for somebody that's making $128,000. Anyway, for the last 36 years, tax revenue coming in was greater than the benefits that were going out. So the accumulated surplus made up the trust fund. And that sounds straightforward enough, and at its heart, it's not too different than the way all of us save for retirement. There's one problem. The cash surplus might go to the trust fund, but it doesn't stay there. It gets sucked into the current expenses of the U.S. government and replaced with an IOU. The trust fund's assets are invested in U.S. Treasury bonds. The cash is used to fund the current expenses of the government. If you or I buy a U.S. Treasury bond, that debt obligation of the government is an asset to us. But that's not exactly what's happening here. Remember, Social Security is the government, so the government is lending to itself and calling it an asset. It doesn't work that way in the real world. You know, I can write myself a check for $1 million, but that doesn't make me a single penny richer. I'm just shuffling the money from one pocket to another. So when I hear that Social Security is having to dip into its trust fund, I roll my eyes. The so-called trust fund has never more than an accounting trick. The idea that there was cash set aside for our retirement by the wise moderns running the government was a convenient fantasy. Keeping the fantasy alive actually isn't that hard. If Congress raises payroll taxes, raises the retirement age, or finds other stealthy ways to reduce benefits, such as by means testing or tinkering with inflation assumptions, we can rebuild the trust funds in a hurry. For that matter, the U.S. Treasury could create a quadrillion-dollar superbond to superfund the trust fund, but now until the end of time, and then promptly lend the money back to itself. But what difference would it make? Well, it's just accounting. The reality is that the retirement of the boomers is going to force the government to make some uncomfortable choices. The current deficit, which is benefits going out being larger than payroll taxes coming in, means that the money has to come from somewhere else. That means that taxes go up, other spending goes down, or we simply borrow more. None of these options are desirable. I don't know about you, but I don't feel comfortable depending on accounting gimmickry to fund my retirement needs of those in my family. And if anything, it just reinforces why my belief that you must create your own income streams in order to have the type of retirement that you want. So, no trust fund, Al Gore. Sorry. Anyway, leave it alone at that. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend. Happy Father's Day to the fathers. Take care of them. Fathers deserve it. Have a good day.